Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are back after taking a day hiatus, kind of, yesterday when the January 6th hearings were basically from 12 until 3. So stood by, listened with bated breath to that, but didn't get to say a lot. So we're back today, and I am so excited because as we've been having rotating guests in the last week into this week, my dear friend, longtime Milwaukee journalist, the founder of the Recompopulation Area, which is a weekly opinion column and online publication covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, massive, massive Bucks fan, Mr. Dan Schaefer. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kristen.
How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy that you're here. So if you would like to join us at any point today to the audience, call or text in 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. So we'd love to hear from you. But I wanted to... So sometimes with Trump news, I feel like it just kind of glosses over my brain now. But at some point this week, it was announced that Trump's coming in August, and I think it just didn't register to me to check which day in August he's coming. And I woke up this morning to a panicked text from my mother. Oh my God, Trump is coming to Milwaukee on your wedding day. So August 20th, I am getting married in Milwaukee, in the downtown area, which Trump, unless he cancels like he just did in North Carolina, will also be there with his somewhere between $195 to almost $4,000 entry fee for people to get in. So maybe we should just invite him to the wedding. Just really have my mother have a total
meltdown. Thank you,
Chip.
And I think the whole cast of characters that he was bringing with him seemed like a really fun bunch, too. Seemed like they would really know how to party at a Milwaukee wedding.
Which is funny because the truth is, Trump, I don't think, parties at all because he doesn't drink, right? Isn't
no,
he like stone
right.
sober?
Yeah.
So he actually doesn't seem like he would be that much fun for multiple reasons. But
a lot of ketchup on the walls?
Yes, or ketchup. Yes, the ketchup on the walls. I'm not sure our venue would be super pumped about that. We probably wouldn't get our security deposit back. All right. Anyways, I just wanted to get that in because it didn't even occur to me to check which date. Which maybe says more about not thinking about my wedding date as much as I should be right now. But that says more about me. Let's move on. All right. We wanted to spend pretty much the full first hour of today's show talking about the Wisconsin primaries because they are in 27 days. And the thing is, people are already voting. I know, Dan, you had a very unscientific poll on your Twitter of just asking where people were on voting. And there was a lot of people who said they already voted, that they've already mailed in their ballot. And I think next week, early voting starts in a lot of places. So for some people, they're already like, hands done, I'm done, moving on. But we still do have 27 days, so we're in the home stretch. And in a lot of ways, it's only heating up, even though some people have already voted. So which should we start with first? Do you want to do Republican governor primary or Democratic Senate primary?
I think we can start with the Republican primary for governor because I think that's been probably the most in the news this week.
Yeah. And so you wrote about this in the Recompopulation Area. I mean, was it last month that you basically after one of the Marquette polls came out, that showed...
Yep, I read about all the Marquette polls, so
yes.
I wrote about that one, yes.
And how much, in such a short period of time, Michaels caught up to and now has even passed Rebecca Clayfish in the polls, despite her basically campaigning for the last 3.5 years.
Yeah, I think she, pretty much from the moment that Walker lost in 2018, you know, it was all but expected that she would be running. And in that poll... You know, that was the first one with Michaels. I think there was another one before that that, you know, Michaels had announced, but it was just a weird timing. So they didn't have him in the Marquette poll. But, you know, all of the undecided voters basically went towards Michaels. And even as many of the undecided voters in the primary broke different directions, Clayfish's overall number dropped, which you don't really see at this stage of the race among like a top contender, that number drop. as undecideds begin to break. Because I think the polls before that were showing about half of voters were still undecided. Now it's more like 30%. Like you said, I put that poll out on my Twitter. I think even among my very engaged Twitter followers, there were still 20% of the people who are undecided, at least for the Democratic primary, too. So I think it is really interesting that Michaels has consolidated this support in the way that he has. And I think after Kevin Nicholson dropped out of the race, I think most of the people who were Nicholson supporters, I would expect to go towards Michaels as well.
Because they're both outsiders.
Because of what?
They're both outsiders.
That's right.
They're against the Madison machine.
Political outsiders. But I think it's also because I think Nicholson was kind of there getting some support because there was a significant, like, not playfish contingent of the Republican voters. And I think once Michaels kind of stepped in, because, you know, throughout the whole past year, before Michaels jumped into the race, like, they were flirting with all sorts of different candidates, from Tommy Thompson to, you know, you can go through the list of Reince Priebus was even in the mix at one point. Like, so once they kind of focused on Michaels, like, he really jumped in the polls. And I think Nicholson was kind of the, you know, there before that. And I would expect most of his support to go towards Michaels. And I think Michaels at a campaign event told reporters yesterday that they had an internal poll that had him up 9% over Clayfish. And I think he's kind of moved into front runner status right now. And at this stage of the race, it's you could say maybe it's his to lose. I don't know.
So who do you think? Because, you know, in a lot of ways, Clayfish is a true conservative. I've never met her personally. I have heard that she actually is fairly, when it comes to politics and policy, she is very smart. I heard she's an incredibly hard worker. So what is it about her that there, do you think that there's a part either of the party itself, meaning the elected officials or the people who actually make these decisions on behalf of the party, but also the Republican voters who they're just not sold on her? Like, what is it that you think it's just the anti-Clayfish piece of it? And what is the demographic of that group?
Yeah, I think when you look at the people who have supported her, especially early on, you had Scott Walker and Robin Voss and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and like a lot of the kind of Republican establishment that had run things in the state for the better part of the 2010s. Right. But I think, you know, as we saw with, you know, Trump's arrival in 2016 and a number of things since then, I think the party is shifting. It's shifting from the more suburban base that it had under Walker and Clayfish to a more rural base that it's had, you know, basically since Trump entered the scene in 2016. So I think it's indicative of the party shifting, and I think it's indicative of, you know, Clayfish has not really been able to consolidate support among the party, even as long as she's been running for this. I think she came into this pretty strong front runner early, you know, late into last year. She just has not been able to consolidate support among parts of the party.
Yeah, and it's not that she is not going to, if she does lose, she's going down swinging, because the amount that she is now going directly at Michaels, like right in between the eyes on the gas tax, on immigration, on right to work laws, and all these things that, I don't know if it's fair to say that he's flip-flopped so much as he has been, it's on record that whether it's either trade associations or different groups that he's been involved in or his actual family company has been on the opposite side than where his platform is right now, as far as being in favor of the gas tax, being opposing more immigration, kind of strict policies, because obviously for big companies like that, having people who can actually work is a good thing. And having more immigration when our birth rate keeps declining is a good thing for some of those companies. And then also that they...
Interesting.
Yeah. And then also right to work, right? They, during that whole debate, some of their employees protested that law, and that weren't necessarily in favor of right to work. And so it either is... he just wasn't paying attention when he's at his company, or he's just saying what he thinks needs to be said, and he doesn't really know what he believes on any of these topics.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, he was out of the Wisconsin political landscape for such a long time. Like, obviously, he ran for Senate in 2004 and is now running again in 2022. A little bit has changed about the way politics works from 2004 to 2022. So, you know, I think as the spotlight turns to him, it's going to be really interesting to see how he responds. Because running as a challenger, you know, upstart, before he gets the Trump endorsement, you know, he's not running as a front runner. I think now he is, and I think that the tone of the campaign will change.
Do you think he'll go back, start hitting back at Rebecca?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about negative ads and how that works within, you know, different political parties or different, you know, on different issues. But, you know, I think probably not in the way that she is.
Yeah, it's interesting to think because, I mean, and truly, it's not necessarily that she's attacking him personally. She is calling him out on his record, which is is that negative so much as is it just pointing out the flaws or the reasons why you wouldn't want to vote for this person because their record doesn't necessarily substantiate what they're saying now. And so versus, you know, Michaels is a terrible person because he had an affair I'm just making this up. This is not a real thing. But I'm just saying, it's like, that's kind of sometimes where it's like, what is considered negative actually? Is it personal attacks versus, no, this is what the record says. So, all right. Well, we are going to take a quick break, but there's still more to talk about because I just, obviously, I kind of want to talk about how much money Evers has raised because this is on path to be the most expensive governor's race, at least in Wisconsin history. So I want to talk about that. And just, you know, give some love to the other Tim, who is also running for governor on the Republican ticket. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and my guest host for the day, Dan Schaefer.